Thought it was very cool that Josh Turner swung by the studio today to talk about the new album. We are going to include that interview at the end of the podcast. So as soon as you hear the closing jingle, don't turn it off. Leave it on because you'll have an extra 10, 15, whatever, so minutes after
don't
that.
Don't turn it off.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything. So they have to learn, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast, the podcast, Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast, Big D and Bubba podcast.
That was a long time ago. Probably changed now.
That is.
Such a terrifying noise.
Oh, that's Megan, the screaming pig. No,
Can we go back to the other lady? I love the way she ends the phrase.
That was a long time ago. It's probably changed now.
It's probably changed now.
I want to be like, I want that, all of that. I want to live my life like that.
Oh, where you like just, she's like you now. Listen to her and you almost feel like Rose at the end of Titanic when she's about to throw the heart of the sea into the ocean and she just
that was a long time ago. It's probably changed now.
Yeah, it changed. Yeah, it also reminds me of the give me my dignity.
Oh yeah,
remember the dignity
the commercial?
What do they call that? Middle Atlantic or something like that.
The Mid-Atlantic accent.
And so that was a real thing. Apparently, yeah. I watched a video. Apparently, I thought it was just something they invented for Hollywood because it would be friendly for the European audiences and for all of America. But apparently that's the way people actually talked back then.
You know who's a wonderful example of that is Vincent Price, because he's from, I think, like Kansas or something, but he went to a boarding school on the East Coast, and that's how he began to speak the way that he did, that he was at a mid-Atlantic school and pulled up that voice.
His end of Thriller.
Oh, I was about to say the same
thing. Can you do it? Falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawling from church of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell. And rot inside a corpse's shell.
He did it in one take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the craziest thing. I think I have the session. I don't know how much I can play of this.
I don't think he's going to come after you.
The foulest stench is in the air.
Hi, this is Michael Jackson.
And this is Vincent Price inviting you to
The Thriller.
I'm not even joking. I thought that was Carson at first.
Darkness falls. Stand with frozen feet. You try to run. You try to scream. But no more sun you'll ever see.
See, that wasn't used in the album, was it?
Oh, no. Apparently.
It's the extended version. If you buy, like, the bonus Thriller, like 25.
Is that the version that came with the big 25-minute long video?
Yeah.
And grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive,
so that's the
your
accent.
Body starts to shiver. For no.
Boy, he cranks his headphones up. You hear that?
Yeah.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. You can hear the microphone picking up his headphones. That's how loud he has it.
And resist the evil of the Thriller.
Ooh, I don't remember the growl being that.
When he put a little roll on
the
it.
Thriller.
So great.
The Thriller.
It's also because of Michael Jackson's obsession with those old movies.
Let me see if I can.
It's the only old thing he did.
Ouch.
Ooh. Wow.
What?
Huh? I don't know. It was so loud I couldn't hear
it. No, his best friend was Elizabeth Taylor. Oh, she was old.
That's a pig.
Yep.
Got to see Larry yesterday, by the way.
Your dad.
Yeah.
Doing okay?
Oh, he's doing great.
Okay.
He's feeling good. And, like, I don't know. He's.
You got very excited and then brought
Then
back.
I started thinking about all the things, but yeah, he's in planning mode
for
death.
Oh boy.
No, yep. Really?
Yeah, I'm sitting there, and I mean, I'm talking to my stepmom, and she's about something, and Dad comes in, and he goes, "Ah, did you tell him?" I'm like, "Oh gosh,
tell him?"
No,
what?
I didn't. I did, Larry. Well, I've decided I'm gonna get cremated. Oh, you know how much it costs to get cremated? I don't know. $600.
Yep.
Really? Yeah. You know how much it costs if for a regular funeral? $9,000. I'm like, okay. And he goes, "I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna get cremated. I'm gonna get." I was like, "Oh, well, what was that for? Why?
What a weird joke.
What a weird macabre thing."
You know what, though? They're at the your parents, my parents, probably most of our parents are at that age where they start thinking about that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's to them.
Yeah, my parents gave me the will. So they had the will made up and wanted to make
sure. Oh, you already got it?
Uh huh. I want to make sure I had a copy of it. But I think they have to redo it because now they're moving to a different state. So, yeah, that's a whole thing.
I like the voice you did there.
Yeah, I know.
But it's they moved to a different state.
Well, because them moving is, like, somehow it's become frustrating for me, even though I'm 8 hours away from it, but it's a thing.
Thriller.
The funk of 40,000 years.
Giving the will beforehand, because I feel like
that takes all the surprise out of it.
Right?
Isn't it fun? Yeah. Like in Always Sunny, when they do the whole will reading for the mom. I mean, that was great. I would love to see.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, that's where the secrets
that's
things.
That's where it comes
that's
out.
That's where it all comes out, is at the reading.
Do you guys have a favorite
so
will?
So that's not your brother.
Do you have a favorite movie will reading scene? I like the one from Gran Torino. That's a pretty good one. When he gives the kid the car.
In the
chop it and make it look stupid and all that.
You want a very random one? Okay. Brewster's Millions with Richard Pryor.
Wow.
I can go more random. Basketball.
I don't remember the will reading.
The will
in that
reading
one.
Is because the owner of the basketball team, he ends up leaving it to the Bears. But then also he starts talking about, "Hey, Coop, remember when we got drunk and started stripping and dancing?" And it's, what's this, like, older, like, not. Wilford Brimley-ish dude. It's not him, though. And he starts singing "I'm Too Sexy." It's just so absurdly,
like,
ridiculous.
At the will reading?
It's his video will. So the dude's dead.
Oh,
and he's cool. Like, "Remember when we were singing?" And yeah, like, it's so ridiculously awful, but it's great.
I don't remember that one.
Yep.
Big Lebowski has one, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. It's not a will reading. It's Walter and the dude are having, after Donnie dies.
Donnie.
Spoiler. They're, you know, giving them the price of, because they're, you know, cremating him. And they're like, he's like, "What is this?" He's like, "Well, that's for the receptacle." And he's like, "I don't know, $500 or something."
So for the jar?
Yeah, so they go to Ralph's and get a can of coffee beans and pour it out.
Yeah. I was talking to Dee right before the podcast about how there's a midnight screening of The Big Lebowski tonight, and there was part of me that thought I should go because I've never seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, wow.
And there's part of me that said I should go and see it on a screen, and then that way I'd be able to talk to Dee in Lebowski terms.
So the very first time I saw it, I didn't get it. Remember, I came to you, Big D, I was like, "I just don't get this." Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't get why you love this movie again.
Yeah.
Then I watched it again. We were on a flight, me, you, and Donnie.
Donnie Underwood.
Donnie Underwood was a pilot for Navarre's. We were on a flight. We were going somewhere, and Donnie was flying safety pilot.
And he's a Big Lebowski fan.
And so they put it up on the dash.
That's right. I forgot. We
Big
did.
Big Lebowski playing on the dash on the iPad.
On my iPad. That's right.
And the sound in was between, coming over our...
Yeah, over the headphones. In between, like... center. Just sit it down at 12,000 or 13,000.
And then start it back up again.
Amazing.
And that was... So for some reason, I was much more engaged with the movie that time, and I got it. And then I went home, and I watched the whole thing uninterrupted again for... my third attempt, and it was a really, really enjoyable movie.
It's like you watch it, even to this day, I'm kind of not 100, if I'll say for everyone else, of what it's about, really. it's such a weird mix of stuff.
It's the dude's heroic journey.
Yeah, I guess. I just like it for the certain scenes that are just iconic to me. But anyway. Really, yeah, you should watch it. I think watching it. What's that?
Tied the room together, man.
Yeah, it really did. If you go and watch it at your like Belcourt in Nashville, is a theater. It's an older theater, and they show. It's like a privately owned theater.
It's a nonprofit, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I've been there once or twice.
I've been there for like movie premieres and things like
it's
that.
It's kind of old school, cool. And so they'll show movies like that. But the thing is that's not watching. What's the one where they Maurice? It's a flower that eats people or something. Yeah, like a dentist chair.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. It's like going to that. People are dressing up and talking back and throwing things.
Well, like Rocky Horror. I've done Rocky Horror at the Belcourt.
Well, okay. Well, that, I would think Lebowski is going to be similar to that.
Yeah.
You're going to have 1,500 dudes.
Oh, golly.
That's what I figured people are going to cosplay. Walter. Well, tomorrow night is Clue, which is one of my absolute favorite movies of all time. And I want nothing more in life than to have a group of friends where we could dress up as Clue for Halloween, that we could be the movie. I would love to do
that.
I'll
be Shaggy.
What?
It's a mystery. So never mind. I threw in Scooby-Doo with Clue.
It's a stretch.
Wow.
That wasn't that was a stretch. That was a whole pole
like,
vault.
Like, I'll go there and be like,
yeah.
Hey.
So
we're moving on.
Okay. Mr. Plum.
Have you seen Clue, Bubba?
Years ago.
It's good.
I knew it had three different endings, so depending on which screening of the movie you went to, you got a different ending.
You either got Miss Scarlet, Mrs. Peacock, or they all did it, except Mr. Green, who was going to go home and sleep with his wife, because he was the undercover agent.
Oh.
Yeah.
You were saying you watch it almost weekly?
Oh, I love it. I love Clue. So it never gets old. It's so amazing. The timing, the pacing. There were rumors actually a couple of years ago that Ryan Reynolds wanted to remake Clue. And here's my problem with remakes. It's a movie that came out in the 80s and it was set in the 50s. So there is no reason to remake it because it's already set backwards. It's one thing if you remake something that was set of its time.
Yeah.
There's nothing to redo with Clue. It's perfect as it is. The cast is insanely talented. It's, Madeline Kahn, Tim Curry. Like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, Martin Mullen there.
Christopher Lloyd.
Come on. Christopher Lloyd. just everybody that's in there. Leslie Ann Warren is just a siren. What are you doing? Don't. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do this. Yeah. You don't. Mm-mm.
Have you guys seen the new Ryan Reynolds movie?
Deadpool?
Yeah, I went and saw it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. Yeah, it was everything that it is advertised, which is just absurd, ultra-violent, stupid.
Yeah.
I like stupid.
Yeah.
So I'm in.
I like the Deadpool. Those are like the only MCU movies I've seen.
I do want to add this real quick to your Clue talk was, if you haven't seen Knives Out, go and see that. It's kind of like a modern take on Clue. Mm-hmm. And James Bond dude.
Daniel Craig
is amazing. He talks like Foghorn Leghorn. He's all like this the whole time. Now, you know he's James Bond, but he's up in here talking like this. It's so over the top, horrible, that it's off-putting at first, but then it's like endearing. Yep. And you're like, you kind of root for him as the show goes on because, you know, he's kind of not getting it. I don't know. It's good.
Murder on the Orient Express is pretty good.
Isn't that another Knives Out?
No.
Yeah, it's similar. It's a mystery.
No, but
there was a Knives Out 2, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a Knives Out 2, and I want to say
Murder
there was
on the Orient Express,
spin-off.
I thought was just more based on the like novels. The one the version I watched. I mean, it was the inspector whose name I can't say with the P.
Yeah.
Like he's very clever. And he's got that wit, but I don't know that it's meant to be.
I heard the movie that was out like, 5 years ago was really good. And then they did that Egyptian version where they're on a boat. And I heard the boat one was horrible.
Like the Nile or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I saw.
Yeah, I watched one of those on Halloween last year.
I watched Hubie Halloween.
That was fun. I loved
Hubie Halloween.
It was.
It's the most underrated Halloween movie.
It's fun.
Yeah, that was actually a very popular well received movie.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Because it actually I mentioned it to people and they're like, what?
No, I think it's fun.
And I'm like, it's Adam Sandler and he's playing the most Adam Sandler role ever. And he's just bumbling and awesome. And then the whole radio voice is, I don't want to spoil it for somebody who hasn't seen it because it's just so great. So many wonderful, and the cast in Hubie Halloween. It is a who's who of everyone who has ever appeared in a movie with Adam Sandler before.
I was debating too. I haven't seen Twisters yet. I feel like it's a movie you need to experience in the theaters, but it's already available to buy or rent through my TV. And you know what I like a lot? My couch. So I'm thinking that might be the other weekend plan is I just rent Twisters.
Yeah. Well, do you think they'll come out when eventually just movie it'll come out in theaters and in your home at the same time?
So they have that already, and they've had it for several years, maybe a decade or more, where for the ultra rich, the people who have like really nice home theaters, there is a thing that it's release day movies. And so they get them and they can, but it's like, I want to say $15,000 a movie or something.
It's super expensive.
Yeah. Because they don't want you to be able to,
sell. Could you imagine paying $15,000? And I get it. You're uber rich and money doesn't matter to you.
That's their industry, too. So they write it off.
But, like, here's the rest of us, like, ooh, I don't even get a discount on this movie ticket. It's a Saturday. Y'all want me to pay $17.95?
Again, they write it off.
Going to a matinee. There's no way.
They have the ability, though, because, again, it sounds like a preposterous thing, $15,000 for a movie, but they can claim it as, research for their industry
or
whatever.
You write it off. It's a write-off.
I need to write off everything. Life is for this show. This is what we do, so,
Bubby's tried to write off magazines one time. He was like, you know what? I didn't want to write. I was like, I have had the IRS come after me twice.
Oof.
I've had two. I highly do not recommend. And both times I ended up owing me money.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yep.
Yeah, people have told me I should.
It took me a second.
People are like, you need to write off your makeup. You need to write off your hair appointments. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just not going to do that, though. I'm not bumping up my TurboTax. I'm not paying for Pro.
It's not worth it. It's just not. But
the risk.
Yeah.
Imagine I get audited over fake eyelashes? That's a no. Come on.
How are your fake eyelashes, by the way?
I have them on today.
All right.
This is a fresh set.
And
today.
It figures we're not doing video. We're having a video thing, so nobody gets to see.
That's why I didn't even turn on my light. That's why I'm sitting down.
Oh, Garrett's Garrett's iPad.
Yeah, his thing.
Great. I can turn off the light now.
Yeah, so I'm sitting down.
Yeah, we're like whatever. We're just like.
So yeah, do you have like different sizes that you wear?
No, I found, I guess this pair size whatever that worked for me, and I just bought them. Basically, when I say I bought them in bulk, I have like 10 pair of them sitting in my house. Right,
let's guess, Schaefer. How much do you think? And Bubba, how much do you think? I get them. They come in pairs, right?
I'm gonna say a pair of
fake eyelashes cost.
I'm gonna say a pair, $14.
Schaefer?
Well, I was gonna say 30.
I'll say. I'll go low. I'll go $10.
Yeah, my set of eight pair cost me like $12.
Oh wow!
And then I bought eye glue.
Okay. So. Yeah, and that's
the thing. You can buy cheaper.
They couldn't be that expensive because if they're expecting you to buy them and wear them over and over and keep doing it, that they've got to be attainable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
one and done?
I went way too high.
I don't know if they're supposed to be one and done. I do about five and done because you have to keep applying lash glue to it to stick to your.
What do you mean 5 days?
Yeah, I take them off at night and then I put them back on. But you have to apply more lash glue, and it gets to the point where after about five wearings, you're like.
They get a little crusty.
Yeah, it looked like there's this like big line of glue, and I'm like, that's all right. Like, okay, we're done. So
you're gonna walk in and be like, oh my god.
Yeah, you're like, what
is it heavy?
Is that a caterpillar?
Does it feel heavy on your eyelid?
It doesn't feel heavy. It's always like there's something there that I want to. You're like touching your eye because there's something wrong with it because it's not natural. There shouldn't be something. attached to
so
it.
So do you
but
see
here it?
Is. Like, because anytime we're like standing here, look around. Do you see mm-hmm. your nose? It's there. You right. just don't see your nose because you're used to it.
Right.
Is that kind of the same way? Is that mm-mm. you don't
no,
see
I can't
them after
see them.
A while?
I can't. No, because, well, again, they're above my eyes, so I can't see them.
When you first put them on, did you ever see them?
I don't think so. I think if you see them, you know they're in the wrong place. That's where you're like, ooh, they drooped. That's bad. That's not how they're supposed okay. to look. So, but you can feel them.
That it's nose just, thing is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. it's so weird. I can't you have to really look up. And go, oh, there's my nose. There it is. It's so weird.
There's my nose.
There it is. Anyway. Also, you said caterpillar. I'm kind of caught up on caterpillar.
Why? What do you say?
I said caterpillar.
Oh.
I say caterpillar too.
Caterpillar.
I say
you
caterpillar.
Said she yeah, says caterpillar.
Well, there's a.
Well, that's
there's an R in it.
My Louisiana comes out. I say cata. Like, you know, oh, like we okay. would say, like, hey, you know, Mad Hatter, oh. you know, kind of thing.
There's 200 days till Mardi Gras.
What?
Yeah, I saw that on my Insta today.
Wow. I love the idea of the 13-month calendar because we had talked about that on the show. It would make it to where Mardi Gras is always the same day every
oh,
year.
Oh, yeah. That would be really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, why would you? The whole thing that we don't know when Easter Sunday is annoys me. We don't know what day, which Thursday of November Thanksgiving falls on. We always go, is it the last or the second to last? And it kind of throws me off all the time. So the point is,
but
if you do the 13-month calendar, every month has 28 days. Mm-hmm. Everything falls on its own day. Easter Sunday is always on the, I'm just going to throw a number out, the 15th every mm-hmm. year. Thanksgiving would always be on the 23rd. Whatever it may be, whatever the thing is, it would always be the same. It fixes so much, and it makes all of the holidays locked in. Mm. And we have an extra
what
day
do we do
at the
Halloween,
end of the year.
Though?
Halloween would then be on... I say you make it the final Friday of October.
Okay.
Because then it's on a Friday night. It's a fun night. It's mm-hmm.
I
hate
oh, I'm fine with that.
Midweek Halloweens are terrible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole thing is everybody says, well, you can't move Halloween. It's always on October 31st. No, you can because they do it all the time. Yeah. They do trick or treating.
You sure can.
On multiple days.
I mean, I've already started Halloween and yeah. it's fine. So welcome to
what do you do,
August.
Though?
October.
With a 13-month calendar, with mm-hmm. all months having exactly equal 28 days, there is one day left over.
Yes.
That's only 364 days. Yeah. So do you do the purge? Or and I know we talked about it, I made the joke, oh, you make it the purge. Or do you do like some kind of special, like everybody is off its siesta day and everybody, it's nap day, national or international day of napping.
I like how you think. Not purging, but napping, yes.
Yeah, like I think you could make it something cool. Or you take it to where it's clean up your neighborhood
holiday.
Day or anything. It's a whatever
it's
you
a day
want
out of
day.
Life.
A day out of life.
I'm just going to give you Madonna. That's it. You
know? It could be anything. I mean, yeah. That's such a missed opportunity.
It would be so nice.
Fix the calendars and then get rid of daylight savings time. And this world gets so right.
Does that mean we have no more Friday the 13th?
Ooh.
Because you either have all Friday the 13th or none. Because my birthday next month is Friday the 13th. I get a monster day. I don't care about my birthday, but I care that it's Friday the 13th. That's dope.
I'm looking. So Friday the 13th was, well, let me see, 13-month calendar. I'm trying to pull up one so I can look at it. I don't know.
That's the thing. We could look. If it was up to us, we could start it whenever we want. Mm-hmm. If we want to do a Friday the 13th, but it would be every month. Does that make it less spooky?
It does.
Okay, yeah. So the 13th always falls on a Friday.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's pretty great.
It would be great.
Oh, no, wait. Is that right?
Well, again, we can make it. It's fine.
Okay, that's kind of cool. And then all the holidays. Yeah, I'm looking at this thing on Wikipedia, and it breaks it all down. Because it would be a fixed calendar. Mm-hmm. Everything is the same all year for all months. It's uniform. It's clean.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Orderly. Tidy.
Yes.
I'm
we
the butler.
Need some
I'd like
orderly.
To keep the kitchen tidy.
Yes. And then we would have that leap
corpses,
day.
Fine.
That extra day at the end of the year, which I think would be really fun. Anyway.
He's an old man telling it.
It's not even that.
No,
it's,
I'm giving it's, you
it's
hard
such
time.
A it, this is not something new. This has been something that people have pushed forever. I want to say like Native Americans and like ancient societies used a 13-month calendar because it coincides with the way the lunar phases are. So it's actually more of a lunar calendar. So like the full moon would even fall on the same time every month. I mean, it fixes everything.
Fixes everything.
The tide would be high at the perfect times every month.
Moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be great. Somebody fix that. But you know they won't do it because it's the same reason they don't want us to change from the daylight savings thing. It throws us off so much. It keeps us on edge that we have something to complain about. And that's what anybody in power wants. They want you to be distracted by something. That's why there's this big push for division. That's why there's, you know, all these algorithms to try to get people fired up because they don't want you looking at what they're not doing. They want you to look at whatever the thing is. The whole idea of being in power in, I'm sorry, am I about to go into it?
Yeah, I think you just did.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, people, all these senators and stuff, they go in and the whole point is they don't want to do anything. They just want to get reelected. The less they can do and get reelected is what their goal is. Right, Megan, the screaming pig?
No, Megan.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and go into the thing here, right?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes.
If you missed, if you missed Josh Turner on the show, we have him here on the podcast right after this closing jingle and Megan the Screaming Pig.
This was the podcast, but now it's over.
It's over.
But that's okay.
That is okay.
Listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Probably James
Josh Stern has got a new album out. It's called This Country Music Thing, which, by the way, is a good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Is a that song is so great. I love when you guys do, like artists, you guys, when you guys do stuff that kind of like takes, it's like the third wall comes down or the fourth wall, some wall comes down. And and you kind of go like, yeah, I'm a singer. People like the way I sing and I'm on the road. And it just kind of gives you an idea of like, I don't know, your life. I really liked it.
Yeah. Well, you can thank my producer for that one because that was one of a whole lot of songs that I sent him, and I never know what anybody's going to like, and that was the first thing on his list, and I'm like, are you feeling okay? Because that it's not in the vein of what I normally do, and I just felt like it was kind of braggadocious. What he loved about it.
Yeah,
he was like, you know, this is kind of like a rap song. It's like,
it
hey,
is.
You know,
it
look
is.
What I've done. You know,
it's you popping your collar,
yeah,
or whatever the kids do nowadays.
Popping your collar.
But it's funny. It's like, it's true though. Like all the young people that have heard it, like they love that song.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna play a little clip
it's
of
a little,
it.
It's like it's like a flex. It's going like,
yeah,
it because you are.
It's bringing the riz.
That's the way you are. Because Josh, you're very. I just want to be Jesus and country music and my kids and my wife. That's you. And that's great. But every once in a while, we like to see you come out with face paint and a boa and jumping off the top. Yes! Two-stepping to the moon. This is a...
On the moon.
What did I say? To on the moon?
To the moon.
To the moon.
Oh, you know what it is?
That takes another level of talent. If you
well,
Big
D's still stuck on Dogecoin. He's like, to the moon!
Two-stepping on the moon.
There you go.
Thank you. Sorry. This is a song that's got a lot of firepower, especially in the video, and you get to see all your friends. Tell us about some of these characters.
The cameos.
This video is off the chart. I mean, it's the coolest video I've probably ever done. And the song itself is one of those songs that I didn't know if it was going to work at first or not, because the demo that I heard was just so not what I do. But I just felt like there was something to it. And so we kept living with it, kept messing with it, and finally kind of figured out how to do it and make it sound right. And then when we're in the studio, I start, you know, brainstorming with my manager about video ideas or whatever, and like she just falls in love with it, and so we just kept that conversation going. And so we started talking to Peter Zavadil about it, and he was all crazy about it because he's a super, you know, space nerd and loved NASA and all that kind of stuff. And so it just, we just started collaborating and started kind of bringing my ideas to life. And, so yeah, it's like the country music honky tonk world meets the moon and the space age and futuristic kind of thing. And then of course, you know, I had, some of my peers that have had, you know, hits with moon songs. I had Randy Travis in there, John Anderson, Marty Rabin from Shenandoah. I had the Gatlin Brothers. And
did you guys literally just sit down and go, okay, who did a song about the moon?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much, you know, and like we had some artists that couldn't make it, but
Frank Sinatra was not available.
Yeah, but it turned out to be pretty incredible.
It's called Two Steppin' on the Moon. It's from the new album, which is called This Country Music Thing.
And I haven't seen the video yet. Now that you guys talked about it before we played the song, I need to go and sit down and watch it. So it's like all the famous people that had moon songs and then other stuff mixed in as well?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's kind of like the country version of whatever the place that was that Jabba the Hutt was hanging out in.
Oh,
in
Jabba's palace.
Where was that?
Star Wars.
Let's go to our fellow Star Wars nerd.
Jabba's palace.
It's just called his palace. So yeah, that's all right.
That's what I
said. Is there a Sarlacc pit?
We have no idea.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'll stay quiet now.
And I still don't get how Boba Fett survived. I'm just, you know, I saw how they explained it.
Josh moved away from Carson.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah, she's all of that. Josh Turner, the new album is called This Country Music Thing. And Two Steppin' on the Moon is on there. Check that out. And the video, too. So I know that Jennifer, your wife, Jennifer does background vocals and keys, keyboard.
Yeah.
She does? Yeah. And kids, the boys play and they sing and all that kind of stuff. Do you see this like becoming the old Von Turner, the Von Turner family?
The hills are alive.
The sound of Turner.
They're on a hiatus right now, but it's cool because there's actually one song on this record called Pretty Please that Jennifer actually came in and sang on, and I had nothing to do with that. My producer. That was his idea, and
I see you guys as a couple that like sings in the kitchen and like dances. It's very Hallmarky, but I don't, maybe not.
No, not really.
Oh wow!
Illusion shattered.
Strictly a professional relationship.
Also, going through the album, the very end of the album is "Unsung Hero," and that is fantastic. And I love the way the story is woven because you know you talk about these guys like any Medal of Honor recipient that we've ever had on the show all says the same thing. They're like, I don't deserve it. They all feel like they didn't deserve that medal. And oftentimes they put it in a closet or they put it in a box or they do whatever. And you address all that in the song. And I think it's so cool because every single one of our military men and women who have served this great nation feels like they don't recognize or need the recognition sometimes. They're like, man, I'm just doing my job. And I love that song, and I think everybody should go and check that out as well. When you're listening to the album, don't skip out on Unsung Hero at the end, because it's good.
Well, I'm getting chills just by you talking about it, because it's actually only the second song of my whole career that I ever got emotional over in the studio, because it's such a moving tribute to my granddaddy that I wrote by myself, and it's basically the story about how I learned more about him and his life and his military, you know, time after he died than when he was living, because he never talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't.
And he's an American hero. And I just felt like, you know, there's a lot of people out there that could relate to that because they probably know somebody just like it.
Yeah,
for sure. But yeah.
So it got pretty emotional in the studio doing this.
Yeah. Cause when I sang the scratch vocal, it was literally like one pass, and Kenny was like, I think you're good. And so I went into the control room and just listened to them kind of, you know, play some parts over. And I'm just sitting there just kind of looking out the window, just thinking like, man, I wish you could hear this, you know? Yeah. And
he can. I believe he can.
Yeah, I do too, but I wish I could see him hearing it, you know?
Sure.
And it just, like I say, that was one of the last songs we added to the record. I didn't start the record making process with, hey, I got to have this on here. It just kind of happened naturally. But yeah, I mean, I've just grown to respect him and admire him even more the more I learn about him and the things that he went through and the things that, you know, the dangerous situations that he was in. I mean, he was a Purple Heart recipient. He got hit by enemy aircraft in Hamburg, Germany, one night when he was driving the ambulance that he was. He was part of a medical battalion that followed a tank battalion, the Black Cats, through France and Germany and all of that. And it's just like, I can't even imagine what he experienced.
Straight up Band of Brothers stuff.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Wow. Josh Turner, the new album, it's called This Country Music Thing. Check it out. And
there's literally something for everybody on here. It's so good. It is a Josh Turner album. Yes. You know, a lot of people change their styles and do this and that. You're maybe one of the few people that I know of that has stayed absolutely true to being who you are, musically, sonically, everything. I mean, it just sounds good. It's a Josh Turner record. If you have ever loved a Josh Turner song before in your life, check this out, because there's a ton of new ones you're going to fall in love with.
Yeah. And you're right. There's a little bit of something on for everybody on here. There's, you know, I sing about the moon, the Grand Ole Opry, Ferris wheels, military, Ferris geography. Bueller.
Got it
there's,
all.
Yeah, just romance. All. I mean, it's just a little bit of everything.
Can't beat it. It's called This Country Music Thing from Josh Turner. Thank you, Josh.